love that story. I love watching the movies that come on at this time of year. My particular favorite is the Hallmark one that has Patrick Stewart in it. I think that one is particularly well done. I love the story because of the change that it depicts in Scrooge's life. I will know Christmas in my heart and keep it all year. I love that, but I'm challenged by that as well because, you know, unless God helps me, I can't. I mean, I can't keep Christmas in my heart all year. I mean, think about it. That is the human heart left to itself. We're so easily out of focus. No matter how many times we say, oh, Lord, I love you. I'll do anything for you. By the time we get to the end of the day, so often we see where we could have done better, where we could have loved more. We really need him to show us how to love, to help us in this. And that brings us to our scripture today. This is real love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. German theologian and professor, pastor Helmut Thielicke was a courageous man. He defied the Nazis with his evangelical Christian faith. And he had a photograph in his office that he was really fond of. It sat across the desk on a bookshelf where he could look at it all the time. And the picture is of a number of young men who are dressed in white and they're holding candles. It's this large group of young men and they're approaching an altar. And when you get to the altar, you see there are four young men who are standing there as if they are dreading their approach. You know, one of them is lying down prostrate. Another one is sort of putting his hand before his face, shielding it. Another one looks like he's trying to hide behind another. And Thielicke loves asking visitors to his office what they think the picture is of. And he liked to keep them guessing for a while. Everyone notices this haunted look on the faces of the four men. And it's one of the things that they can't get away from. And after they've guessed for a while, Thielicke would say something like, sometimes I can hardly wait. Well, he writes about this. Sometimes I can hardly wait until the guessing game is over to set them straight. You've missed it altogether, I say to them, but I can understand how you arrived at your guess. These people are really close to the Christmas miracle, and they've taken it to heart. They are by no means merely playing at worship, but are really in it. The picture is of a Christmas pageant. The four cowering men are shepherds, the company in white are the heavenly host, and Thielicke goes on to tell his visitors that the men in the photo are not members of a particular church. It is a photograph, he says, of the Christmas celebration in a prison. Some time ago, I spoke to the prisoners and visited them in their cells. They listened. Well, I can only say, like hungry and thirsty men, the prison chaplain then gave me this picture. Look at this young fellow here, the chaplain said. He killed his friend in a fight over a wristwatch. Year after year, he's always been entrusted with the same part. He kneels before the crib and says, I lay in death in darkest night. You were the sun that brought to me my life, my light, my soul's delight. And the chaplain continued, I tell you, when you hear those words come out of that mouth, it goes right through you. Why? Because the beautiful thing about Jesus is that he comes so close, shockingly close, if we will allow it. And if we are going to know the depths of his love in the worst of our being, oh, then we can understand why he came. To love us in the deepest places, to love us in the deepest way. This is real love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us. The other day I was reading an old book of promises from Scripture when I came across a page filled with God's promises to forgive sin. And as I read them, it was just part of my devotional reading. You know, sometimes you have those moments where you're reading and it just happens unexpectedly. You know, it's where the light falls and you hear the choir. Oh, you know, it was kind of one of those moments. These are some of the promises I read. I will forgive their iniquity and I will remember their sin no more. And then I came to this one. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. And then this one. This is a trustworthy saying worthy of acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And that's the point of it. That's the beauty of it. That's the reality of Christmas. Jesus is God himself doing this for us, taking out our trash, cleaning up our mess as only he can, if we will take it to heart, if we will take him to heart, not just God high and lifted up as we so often imagine him. God closer than breath. Tilaka put it this way. There is someone who knows you. Someone who grieves when you go your own way and it cost him something, namely the whole expenditure of life between the crib and the cross to be the star to which you can look, the staff by which you can walk, the spring from which you can drink. When someone says that to me, then I prick up my ears and listen. For if it is true, really true, that there is someone who is interested in me and shares my lot, then this can suddenly change everything that I hoped for and feared before. Oh, this could mean a revolution in my life. What are those words again? This is real love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as a sacrifice to take away our sin. Phillips Brooks, the author of O Little Town of Bethlehem, wrote about this in a letter to a friend. He shared what God was doing in his heart and life with these words. He said, "Greater and greater grows the certainty that he is seeking us and giving himself to us to the complete measure of our present capacity." That is love. Not that we loved him, but that he loved us. I am sure that we ought to dwell far more upon God's love for us than on our love for him. There is such a thing as putting ourselves in the way of God's overflowing love and letting it break upon us till the response of love to Him comes not by struggle, not even by deliberation, but by necessity. Oh, dear one, maybe you may be there right now. You know, you are so busy doing Christmas. But in the middle of that, sometimes you despair because you think, oh, I don't have the love of God in my heart. I mean, just this morning, Carrie and I were talking about a situation from the past and somebody who had wronged me. And I was amazed at how quickly I went to a place of bitterness in my words. But if Jesus has washed away all of my past and set me free, and Jesus is my present and my future, what have I to do with that? You know, if we look at ourselves and our efforts to love God, we'll come up short again and again. But if we dwell on His love, you know, we can't help loving Him back. And that's the point of it. It's a little, think about riding a bike, you know? If your focus is on the pedals the whole time, it's not going to end well. If we're looking at ourselves and looking at our own efforts, but we have to lift our eyes. And He will help us do this. Look at Him and He will fill us beyond, Brooks puts it, to the complete measure of our present capacity. By the way, this is one of the reasons why we always sing "A Little Town of Bethlehem" at our Christmas Eve service, because of the words. How silently the wondrous gift is given, so God imparts to human hearts the blessings of His heaven. No ear may hear His coming, but in this world of sin, where meek souls, humble souls, souls who can say, "I was wrong," souls who can say, "Lord, have mercy on me," where meek souls will receive Him still, the dear Christ enters in. Oh, look to Him. And He will give us back so much more than we ever give to Him. He loved us first. He loved you first. And it's that same love that meets you right here, right now, in this moment. As you look at yourself and you say, "Oh, my efforts at loving Him, oh." But you are so loved. Remember the words we began the service with, "For God so loved the world." That's you. That's me. Loved you first. Oh, please don't miss that. Please don't miss that. If we take that truth to heart, if we keep our hearts and minds on Him and His love will wash over us and cleanse us and carry us to places where we praise Him and live forever in the life He gives. But we have to let Him in. We have to let Him in. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. We often hear mention of that at Christmas, don't we? Preachers like to say, "Well, there was no room in the inn." But is there room? And sometimes I think we can kind of compartmentalize that. Oh yeah, there's room. I got room right here. But for there to really be room, there's got to be time. Time to just let it wash over us. Time like you're taking right now, right here. And time that we must take at other times. And it can be anywhere, because he can meet us so unexpectedly. But to just say, yes, Lord, I love you. I love you. Yes, Lord. Oh, come in. Fill me with your spirit. Fill me with your life. I could start singing, "Oh, come, let us adore him." But I won't. But oh, he comes to break our chains and set us free. So come, let us adore him. Come, let us adore him. The beautiful thing is, we can even come to him and say, "Lord, I'm having trouble with that right now." And because he loved us first, there it is again. Can't get beyond it. Never will. Not just in this sermon, but I hope all my life. You know? Loved you first. Loved you best. Oh, come. Let us adore him. May we pray. Lord, we would be caught up in your love. We would live there. And we praise you. That is your very plan for us. That's why you came. That's why you're coming again. And we look forward to you. And where we don't, in all honesty, oh, thank you that you even meet us and help us there. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for your Spirit. Thank you, Lord, that we can't earn you. We can't deserve you. But our very thing is to admit our need for you, and oh, how good you are to bend to us. If you've never seen it the way you see it right now, and you want to say, "Yes, Lord, yes. Come in, come in. I receive you. I want you. I want your love in my heart and in my life." All you have to do is ask. And to look at those things that we've all done, and say, "Lord, you are more. Oh, forgive me. Help me to turn from that to this. You, you, you who loved me first." A simple prayer like that from the heart, Jesus says it makes angels sing. Lord, help us to carry this truth. Help us to share it. Help us to live it. In your beautiful name we pray. And all God's people say, amen.